States of America.
Republic of Virginia.
Which stands one nation.
Under God. Under God.
With liberty and justice for all.
Some any additions or changes to the agenda? I know of two. One is willing to put Andy Bond, the treasurer, on the agenda.
Salary ordinance is not ready yet.
Pardon?
Salary ordinance is not ready yet.
2025? Okay. 2024 ready? Is 2024 salary ordinance ready?
No. I mean, changes to make it today.
Lights on now. So the salary ordinance is both 24 was going to be added. It's not ready.
The actual things that are going on today would make us have to change it again. So we're not doing it until after we get them all on there.
The 24?
Yeah. We already have our 24 salary ordinance and approved and going. It's the 25 that we need.
I didn't know we had to close it out for changes and we're done.
We just have to continue making the changes. We're not done yet.
We can do that next year, the next meeting?
We'll have to do it at the end of the year.
That's legal, Susan?
I guess I don't know what changes you're making for a 24 salary ordinance when we're at the end of the year, unless there's something that hasn't been included in the salary ordinance that was a salary program change.
Is that like that?
And mapping and everything that was incorrect.
Right. Okay. So we're all right?
Yeah, you'll just do it retroactively after the first year.
Okay.
Health dressman stuff doing going today?
No. That is taking it away. No.
Okay.
So are we approving minutes for the December 16th meeting, or are we going to wait till January, the normal time?
Doesn't matter, they're done.
Yeah. Let's wait till January. Be more formal. All right, number one on the agenda, we move to our work session on the 9th to have more time for analysis of his offer of a billing system. Okay, the next item on the agenda is to approve the pay grade change in the clerk's office. Do you have any questions on that? We've discussed it a number of times.
Yeah, you might read just what it is that we're approving.
You don't have a copy readily available?
I do.
Proposed office restructure for 2025, pay grade 9 deputy clerk, pay grade 9 for 3 deputy clerks, basically, pay grade 11 for deputy election clerk, pay grade 15 for a combined two positions of chief deputy bookkeeper, and a pay grade 17 for the elected official. For a total of $249,931. And I guess the combined position saved us $24,000.
May I say something?
Pardon?
May I say something?
Yes.
My thought is, and I know that she went through Irwin and Shealy, but we have a whole lot of these going through Irwin and Shealy. And until we get all of those back and we know what the surrounding counties and all those pay grades are going, what their suggestions are going to be, and what we can afford, just because the surrounding county comes out with something that may be higher, does not necessarily mean that we're going to be able to afford that. And I just think that we need to wait until we get all of that work done, instead of just piecemealing it. That is my suggestion, because we don't know what we can afford.
It's my understanding, Judy, that we had an advertised budget, we have an adopted budget. The adopted budget for 2025 was voted on and approved by the council. And in that 2025 adopted budget that the council approved what the clerk had submitted on her form ones, which was an increase of an additional employee and an increase of an annual budget from 230 grand to 273,000. So I guess my question is, if the council elects not to make any changes and elects not to approve the clerk's request today, then I would assume that it defaults back to what was approved in the adopted budget. Is my assumption accurate? Okay.
Jim, I realize that, but we don't, and I know that we adopted that budget and it falls within that budget. However, we still don't know what the other counties are going to be putting in through Irwin and Shealy. And I just think that we need to wait. We can always modify it in 2025 by changing the salary ordinance. I just think that we're piecemealing it. I'm one vote. It's my suggestion that we wait.
Any other thoughts? Questions?
So, I mean, this one would be for Lita. I mean, if Irwin Shealy comes back in 6 months and says your pay should be higher, are you committing to not raise it at that point under this scenario, or?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to Lita.
I'm sorry, Scott, I didn't hear you.
I have had plenty of conversations with Irwin Shealy during the whole process of before submitting this restructure to you. Trust me. I'm under. Even with what I'm asking for, I'm under.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying is if we do this, so I guess.
So your question to me is if Irwin and Shealy comes back and says that my pay grade should be higher, I'm not stressing about that right now. Let's cross that bridge when we come to it. I'm happy. And my staff is happy with the request that I have currently made. I'm not going to throw a fit if in 6 months they come back and say you're underpaying them by $3,000.
Yeah. And so roughly, the proposed pay is $38,041, $44, and $48,000. So it's from $24 an hour at the top end to $18 an hour at the bottom end. So, I mean, these are not, you know, if you just think about the pay today, I mean, we're talking McDonald's wages up to, you know, this is a very reasonable pay. You know, the only other thing, you know, elected officials, anytime we touch that elected official pay, aren't they all the same? Or are they not? Okay.
It used to be.
And I'm not asking for anything above what you approved to begin with. I'm just rearranging it and restructuring it, and I'm giving you $24,000 back of what you gave me.
Yeah, I do like that cost savings for sure.
Can we just kind of go back, just hit the room? Reverse button for a minute, because I've got a copy of everything laid out that I submitted to the work session on December the 5th, and just do a review, so make sure that we're all on the same page. Yeah. If we look at the current structure, you know, first of all, let me say this, and I'm assuming that we're all on the same page with regards to, you know, Wagner, Irwin, and Shealy. Whatever they propose will influence the 2026 budget. It will not change the 2025 budget, is what my assumption is. Is that fair?
Yeah, good point.
Okay, so let's take that. Let's take the Irwin thing off the table. Currently, for 2024, it appears that you have 3 deputy clerks at a pay grade 8. You have a bookkeeper at a pay grade 9. You have a chief deputy at a pay grade 10, and then you yourself, the elected official, is at a pay grade 16, so you have a staff of 6. And that total salaries, labor cost, was $230,010. And the Form 1, what you proposed for 2025, is adding a 4th deputy clerk. So you were adding an additional person, so you're going from a staff of 6 to a staff of 7. And by adding a 4th person, then that would be another $37,089 at a pay grade 8. Then we've got a bookkeeper down here that is at a pay grade 9. And then we have a pay grade 10 chief deputy, which was the same as the year before, and then yours. Your pay grade was a pay grade 16, and so that essentially stayed the same. So essentially what we did, and I'm assuming the labor cost in here, Perlita, had the 3% increase on this page of looking at. So anyway, that raises your total labor cost from a staff of 6 to a staff of 7, from 230 grand to 200 and rounded up, say 274,000. So that is what was approved in the 2025 budget. So she's been approved at the 274 grand as it stands. So what she did then, she came back and said, okay, I'm going to bump, instead of adding a 4th person, we're just going to keep the staff at 6 people. So 3 deputy clerks, but what we're going to do is we're going to bump them from a pay grade 8 to a pay grade 9. And then as far as the bookkeeper is concerned, let me back up, the deputy election clerk, yeah, it looks like you created a new position there, did you not? Is that right? Deputy election clerk?
Assistant, yes.
Yeah, okay, so you got a deputy election clerk that would be at a pay grade 11, so 41 grand. And then what you've done, it appears, is taken the bookkeeper and consolidated the bookkeeper responsibility with being a chief deputy. And so what you did then is you bumped that from a pay grade 10 chief deputy to a pay grade 15 for those additional responsibilities. And then lastly, it appears you increased your pay grade as the clerk from 16 to 17. So essentially what happened is by making those changes, you freed up, because the council approved the 274 grand, your budget's coming in at 250 grand, you basically free up $24,000 and maintaining a staff of 6, but made some changes of roles and responsibilities within the clerk's office. So,
is that accurate?
Yes, sir. Okay. Now, I want to make it clear, the election assistant position that I've created, that person during off years of elections will also help take care of case filings and other office things that need to be done. So it's not help with voter registration and things like that. Then during the on years of elections, that person will still help with those things, but the additional duties to that person is going to be helping with prepping for preparation for election time.
How's your How's your workload at the moment? Are you currently caught up?
We stay caught up, but we're always busy. There's never any downtime in the clerk's office. I support five other departments plus the election. I have my own duties that we take care of, child support and things of that nature. But the whole justice system cannot run without the clerk's office.
I can attest to that. I witnessed it during the election.
To say, you've seen the madness.
I've seen it.
I'm not trying to be difficult, but I do want to acknowledge one thing. I voted no against the 2025 budget, and the reason I voted no against the 2025 budget is that I personally had absolutely no involvement in making any adjustments to the advertised budget. And I guess my question is that who made adjustments to from what was advertised in the 2025 budget versus what was adopted? Because I had zero involvement. So I don't know who the decision maker was to go through and make adjustments from advertised versus adopted. So,
Jim, I'm trying to follow you here. So from the advertised that the council voted on, what, June? When was that? A long time ago, right?
No.
So when was the, are you talking about that advertised or?
Julie, you can step in any time here.
I will.
Yeah. You know, my understanding is the process is that, you know, July 1, all of the 27 departments are supposed to submit their Form 1s. Julie then takes that data, puts it into the LOW system. She creates the data binder. We had the one-day meeting in here that every department came in and had 15 minutes, okay?
There were only like three changes done at that point.
Yeah, there wasn't. Well, I mean, you've got a $20 million budget, and you got 27 departments, and, you know, it's like this issue right here, we're taking time just to discuss this one single issue.
Which should have been discussed long before now.
Correct, right. And so what happened was is that I do not recall, you know, that the council body ever sat down collectively and walked through every department and discussed anything. So what happened is that, so then you advertise, you have to advertise it, and then once it's advertised, then you've got to upload it into the DLGF and hand it off to the DLGF and submit the budget.
Yes.
Which I think that deadline's what, October 31st, something
yes.
like that? Right, and then from there it goes to the DLGF, and then they finally issue the 1782. At issue is that from the time that we had that all-day, formality meeting, we collectively as a council, and I'll just speak for myself, I didn't have any involvement on what was adopted. And then after it was submitted, that at some point we then voted to adopt the budget, correct? So that the DLGF then could submit the 1782. So I have gone through, everything, and there's changes that were made. And so my question, it's like, for example, you know, we've got, I might as well bring it up now because it's relevant. The treasurer is here to request to take she's got 2.5 employees, including herself. And at 23, she requested to make her part-time employee full-time. She didn't receive it. And then in the adopted budget, in her Form 1 for 2025, she made that same request, but someone made a decision not to give her, to take her employee from part-time to full-time. So somebody made a decision to do that. And I don't know who made the decision to do that. And then at the same time, we gave the clerk everything that she asked for. And then the council voted and approved that adopted budget, and here we are. It's done.
Between the advertised and the adopted budget, we had discussions. They may have needed to be more formal, I agree, with Greg Garitas and Jackie to see what would be
be acceptable to DLGF. That's usually how we go about it. Now, I should have been more formal.
Who are the people that had the discussions?
Gary, I mean, I'm trying to follow your narrowing it down to a timeline, and I'm not sure I'm exactly clear on when you're talking about, but the council had, more work sessions than we've had in years, and talked about this.
Scott, we did not.
Let me ask you, you remember talking about, like, the prosecutor and coroner pay, and... You don't?
No.
I mean, we talked about a lot of things. I mean, it was like hours of conversations and work sessions that I remember. But anyway, I really missed the budget too because I didn't like how it was structured. But, Mr. President, I guess we're just trying to figure out the clerk's pay at this point. But
yes.
Did you have a question, Jim, or was that?
Well, I mean, we can. The president closed this for discussions, but I'm ready to move on if whenever the discussions are over.
I have something.
Go ahead, Judy.
What Jim says is exactly the truth. We have discussed informally numerous times. Yes, Scott. But as far as us going through an actual budget process, the way we normally and formally do and cut as we go, we did not do that, and I've been curious as to how those things have happened, and I too did not vote for this budget. That's all I have to say at this point.
Yeah, gee, I agree with you. I mean, if by informal discussions you mean in work sessions with full council and public meetings, I mean, I agree with you, and I do want a more robust budget process. I'm trying to get us back to the decision at hand here, though, if Mr. President would like to go there. I mean, I agree with all that. But in terms of the clerk's pay, I mean, if we are, in fact, and Jim and Julie, this is a fully burdened cost, right? I mean, this includes benefits, so there's no additional hidden expense here.
I don't know if you added benefits to it. Did you add benefits?
This is just the labor cost.
This is not.
So there's no. There's no perf. There's nothing else above the, so you got to add everything else above the.
So if you add that, what is the ultimate savings?
You'd have to take the delta, which is the 24 grand, right? And then you'd have to hit, because you got workman's comp, unemployment, 11.2% for perf. Group medical, it's not going to change the group medical cost at all.
You say it's usually 18% to 20%.
Yeah, I figure 18%, just, if you want a good, generalization. So I tell you where my position is on this, is that, that we approve Perlita's request, what she's asked for, and then that frees up to 24,000, and then we approve Andy Bond's a request as well. So that's kind of where my head's at on this, just so that you know.
Could we, just if we're using that number of 24, just as a suggestion, I think we should not use the 24 if it's not a real number, right? If it's not fully burdened, like, let's not.
Well, but it's
well,
a
already
similar
paid.
Number.
They already pay. Yeah. We already do.
Benefits and perf are already
exactly
calculated into my budget. So when I did the restructure that you have before you, that was only the pay grades.
On the 24, the 24,000 is a like number reduction. So on top of that, you're comparing the same. You're comparing the exact same.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
And what's added on top of that is if we're eliminating another position. There's more of that coming off of.
Actually, Darren, because we're staying at 6 instead of going to a staff of 7, it actually helps the county because we don't have that risk, additional risk of a 7th employee, for example, in the group medical. Yeah.
May I throw out one more thing, please?
Yes.
It is my understanding that when we did the engagement and had the meeting with Irwin and Sheely at the AIC, that we were we're going to allow them, and yes, this has gone before them, but one of the issues that they brought up, that we have allowed ourselves to get into this issue, what we're doing right now, is allowing the office holder to come before us to make these requests. And Lori and Kim said that day that when we enter into that agreement, that those people needed to go through the whole process. They needed to then start coming before them and not just coming before us. I know that this has gone through them, but this seems like it's convoluted to me in the process that we discussed with them, and I think we've opened a can of worms. I probably need to call them and make sure that what we're doing is correct, but it sounds like we're going to move forward with this. But it seems like to me we're doing this backwards to what they suggested.
Yeah, Judy, you're absolutely correct. We should not be in the situation we're in right now. That had the process, had we had a really clearly defined process that we followed.
I told Perlita to talk to Ward Wagner and Sheila.
But it doesn't seem to be a big convoluted problem when it's the health department.
Well, let's not get compared. Let's just stick with this. So you talked with Wagner, Irwin, and Sheila about
I've
this.
I've had extensive conversations.
Right, which,
Lori.
Which I told you to do to verify
yes.
that this would fit into their program.
Correct. And in reference to waiting till the 11th hour, I wasn't told that I had the additional position until October. I brought this to your attention the first week of November. So that's why we're here today.
And I told you that it needed to go through Irwin and Sheila, that we were in this process, and you said you would contact her the next day. While this, again, is, in my opinion, a convoluted process. I'm not saying that you don't need these positions, that what you're doing is a bad thing. I'm just saying that I think we're not following the process that was given to us by Irwin and Sheely.
Well, I have an email from Lori that states she's on board.
Can I intervene here for a minute? We can talk all day long, but, you know, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in currently had this issue been discussed prior to the adoption of the budget. Okay, and so the council failed to address this issue prior to the adoption. And had this been discussed, then we wouldn't be where we are right now. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the council legally has already approved $274,000 in labor costs and employee staff of $7,000.
I would have to agree the council has failed many things this year.
Right, so.
Yes, I'll take responsibility for that, too.
So
the question is, was this on the table prior to the adoption of the budget, this savings that you're presenting here? Pretty quick
turnaround. No, because you didn't have another person.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it was on the table before approving the budget. So I think it was something you came up with, which is, I'm not against. I'm just saying you're trying to save us money. I appreciate it. So
I'm going to say I don't know, because I don't know when you adopted the budget, because again, I got the phone call from Julie that you gave me the additional person.
Yeah, that was my failure. I take responsibility for that. We have to do that better next year, and I'm responsible for all the things that are being said here.
I'm sure I go that far, Gary, but I mean, Jim, are you, you want to make a motion? Or
yeah, if we're done with discussions.
Actually, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Susan, I know Judy's joining us by video, and I'm constantly trying to remind the council that we have certain rules we have to follow if you're voting by phone. Can you help refresh us?
Right. So it's great that Judy obviously is participating, but considering there are five of you sitting up here, Judy, if you'd like to kind of abstain from this and not use up your electronic votes on this issue, because we have five council members sitting here, then that's what I would suggest. I mean, there's going to be, we are at the end of the year. I was going to say there's going to be additional meetings where Judy is going to be participating electronically and want to make sure that she preserves her electronic votes.
So how many electronic votes do you get?
Yeah, I think it's like three.
Three's all? Okay.
Yes.
All
right. Is it calendar year?
Yeah, so we are.
You've got to verify that too.
Are there certain budgetary issues you cannot vote on?
Yeah, sure.
Is this one of those?
Well, it's a budget.
I'm not going to vote. I'm going to abstain, so don't worry about it.
Okay, the issue's of interest.
Yes.
You're right. I think both, I forgot there's a limited number of votes.
There's a limited number of votes.
It's a budget restriction.
All right, we'll flesh that out in the next meeting.
I have one other comment about, if we, our timeline for letting Irwin and Shealy is sometime this year before the budget, we're going to have input from them, correct?
Yeah, my understanding is the, kind of the deadline is, you know, May-June timeframe. Is that kind of?
Right, that's our target.
Yeah.
So going forward, if there's an adjustment to, to the workforce that involves the clerk's office not being adjusted as much because of what we do here, are you going to be okay with that?
Yeah, Darren, just on that subject, the, you know, currently, I'm kind of ripping apart and putting back together the 25 budget. And right now I'm working on the total labor costs and then the funding, right? And then in addition to that, and taking a hard look at the, based on last week, I got an ex, we have 173 employees. So what I'm trying to get prepared for is if Wagner, Irwin, and Shealy come back, and just to use some round numbers, let's say we're at $6.5 million labor cost, then they come back and say, well, you need to be at $7.3 million. Yeah, how do we cash flow that? How do we pay for it?
Yeah, we'll have to make some
adjustments. Right. Yeah, so I'm trying to work on that now.
And I just want to make
get ahead of it so I can let you guys know that, okay, here's kind of the bandwidth, right?
And I just want to make sure it's known that this may be the adjustment that we have to make
right.
with the Wagner, Irwin, and Shealy.
Right.
So if they come back and then we adjust other offices kind of up to this, there's a risk of that.
You're saying Darren, the risk is that these pay ranges may not be increased at a later date to compensate for all the other adjustments?
Yeah. I just said, you know, I'm just looking out at the future. And I don't want to bump everybody by the same percentage when the recommendations are of something within a different set of numbers.
Mary?
Thank you. I just wanted to know, the county council has had a policy in writing that was given out to all department heads and elected officials several years ago, pretty much stating that if you want to ask for a pay grade increase in your office, you had a certain time frame in which to do that. And it was always like May or June prior to the next year's budget paperwork being due. Has that changed? Because it seems like that has not been followed. And if it has changed, why haven't we been communicated?
Good question. Was it pay increases or was it, you know, this feels different because it's a pay reduction overall and so forth.
No.
I did ask for a pay grade increase for my entire office during the budget process that I submitted before I left for Australia, and the only thing that you approved on my budget was giving me an additional person.
So we've approved that budget. This is a budget that could be less than that approved budget. So
I'm not talking
I hear what you're saying.
Overall.
But yeah, I hear
and
what
I just,
saying.
I just really want to know, has the policy changed? And if so, because it sounds like now Irwin Shealy has its own set of rules. Perhaps you could share that information with all of us so we're all on the same page.
I'm not aware of any changes at all. And so I don't think any of it approved by this council.
And furthermore, you said there's a policy in writing?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm not aware of it.
And I'm not so surprised because most of you are new since that.
Right.
Darren, I believe, was the only one.
So if we've got a, you know, 10-page document that lists
out. You have that?
I mean, it would be nice if those of us aware of the
policies
that have been established historically. Well, I didn't know there was a policy in place. Yeah. Right, so thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's true.
Anything else? Take a motion.
Okay, Jim Kemp, I want to make the motion that we adopt the proposal from the county clerk for three deputy clerks at pay grade 9, for a deputy election clerk at a pay grade 11, for a deputy chief deputy bookkeeper at a pay grade 15, and for the elected official at a pay grade 17, for a total for 2025 of $249,931.
Second.
All right. Any discussion?
Susan, are we on track here? I mean, I'm hearing a policy I'm not familiar with.
I was going to say, I have it written down. I'm going to find it, if it was a resolution or if it was a policy, because she's right.
It was in the salary ordinance. It's been in the salary ordinance for years, and this council has ignored it. It's been brought up. It is there.
So.
In the past salary ordinances.
Okay, so we can look at that before, actually, if we needed to, before the end of this meeting, before we vote. But Susan, I mean, would you recommend we review that prior to voting, or?
I mean, that's up to you all. If you take action now, obviously that's contrary to what that policy is. So
again, I asked for the pay grade increase in the time frame in which your policy probably states.
Yeah, your original $274,000. Correct.
Right.
So that
you
was valid.
Give me
there's
pay
a
grade
valid little problem with
just
that.
Gave me an additional person.
Yeah. Yeah, and the only thing I can remember on that policy, I think, Jim, you may remember this. And I think it was with Julie. We wanted to be flexible with department heads to identify savings and bring those to the council. And I think Julie was the first to do that. You combined.
We lost two people to do that and then get anybody back.
Yeah, so you proposed a change that saved the county money and the council, I think, accepted. But my point is, I think that's all I remember. And Judy, I don't know if you guys remember that, but we wanted to be flexible. And I don't know if we changed anything, Susan, in the salary ordinance when we did that, but I know that was kind of our thinking, which kind of makes sense if we're advocating for taxpayers.
So, Susan, what are the implications on this?
I mean, nothing other than you're just not following your own policy right now.
Yeah, I think I remember discussions on that. We questioned where that policy came from and whether it had some arbitrary nature to it in terms of today's environment. That doesn't mean we resolved it or voted on it. I believe we had a discussion regarding that. So,
as to what Perlita said, though, she made this request within the timeline of that policy, and we
ignored it. Like you ignored the rest of us.
It was. She's re-asking the same change that was requested previously. So it's not necessarily outside of that policy or guideline. Does that make sense?
Yes. So, we've got a motion and a second. Take a vote.
Who's the second?
Resolve this later, Scott.
Okay.
If this needs to be resolved later, we will, but I think we need to move forward on it. We'll take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay.
Darren, were you an aye?
Yeah.
No. All right, we're all eyes.
Yep.
Thank you.
It's approved.
Nobody. Judy, stay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, before we go to our final or the additional appropriations for the year, Andy, you want to come up and talk about your situation?
Yes.
Okay, as Jim said, I had asked in 23 for a full-time, to be clear, it's a permanent part-time position. Full benefits, everything is paid the way it is. The difference would be salary, 12 hours of sick, 12 hours of personal, and 10 hours of vacation. So with just salary, as I sent you all an email, I don't know if everybody saw it or not, it would be a difference of $8,996, roughly. I figured longevity in there, but I figured it incorrectly. I figured it as $50, and it's not. With what you, your adopted budget, you did not figure longevity for my permanent part-time position. I'm not sure why, but I asked for a full-time, I asked for 5%, you guys did 3%. Cost of living, I do believe. Gary did come to me this time and tell me that I was not approved for what I asked for the previous year. I did not get that until I called myself over to the auditor's office to find out. So, which does affect me, because as far as I knew, I was getting a full-time person. So I was just going to have my person come in every day. So if I would have not called in there, I would have ran out of my budget very quickly, because no one told me.
It's my responsibility. I'm sorry. No, no excuse.
So, Andy, I think what you're saying is an 8,000 some change increase would get us, when we say permanent part-time, how many hours?
So, the position is calculated on 30 hours a week for the year. So it would just up her, and I can move that around as needed. What we usually do is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, until I need that position full-time around tax time. So usually April, May, and October, November, or and then covers any vacations or anything like that too, so.
So it goes from, it's not that the hours are variable,
yes.
But over the course of the year, it's out to 30 hours per week.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're asking for 10 additional hours to be added per week. And this would go to every day,
yep.
All day.
8 to 4, Monday through Friday.
And that would only be $8,000 a year.
Do the math.
Well, she's a pay grade 7, isn't she?
Yeah, she's, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, she's pay grade, she's
the bottom. Yeah, pay grade 7, my right. Chief deputy is a 9, and I'm 16,
right.
So.
Are you overburdened throughout the year?
Is that right?
Okay, so I have complete and utter turnover in my office all the time. I think I have filled, this is my 4th person since I took office in 21 in that seat.
In the permanent part-time
seat. In the permanent part-time seat.
Yeah.
And my chief deputy, I'm on my 2nd. It is just so hard to keep anyone that can live off of that salary. And, I mean, they can't even do a part-time job because they're full-time part of the year. This is where it's frustrating. I'm asking for very, very little, and someone else makes a position, is approved for a 7th position in their office, which includes benefits and everything, and it's approved.
Well, it depends on workload, too.
The workload is the same. Okay, so back, this used to be a full-time position, and I don't recall what year it was. Council came to the then treasurer, Mary Smith, and asked her to cut our budget again. And she said, okay, I will cut this position back too. But we had all been there for many years. We all knew our job. We all were very efficient. So it worked. I am the only one left in the office because Mary obviously couldn't stay in there forever. So she's the recorder. And then the other person wanted to be home with their children.
Yeah, just jump in here real quick. As I said earlier, I've got an Excel file and I'm working on it now. And when I get done, I'm going to put together a report and I'll email that to all the council members and the commissioners as well. You know, we're basically 50% of the 173 employees are less than 5 years. Employment with the county, and but keep in mind I'm looking at a lot of other factors, and so when I get done with that report, it will give everybody kind of an idea. But we've got a lot of young people, we've got a lot of turnover, And then the other issue with you, and actually with all the departments for that matter, because of our liberal paid time off policy of 560 hours a year, the challenge that you face is that if somebody wants to take their paid time off, which they're entitled to, then it leaves your office kind of in a lurch. And then with you just having two full-time people and a part-time person, and if you want to take your vacation in or somebody else.
That's including me as a full-time
person. Yeah, right. It's, yeah, it creates, yeah, because the issue is that, you know, if you take 560 hours divided by 2,080 hours, that's 27%. So what that means is 27% of the time, somebody's always going to be taking them off. So if I have a staff of four people, then I'm usually probably going to have one person gone at some point in time, right? Throughout every month.
I mean, just like today.
Yeah.
If it was not my permanent part-time person, you know, if it wasn't their day to work today, I would have had to close my office to come to this meeting.
Right.
Because I have someone out today.
Right, yeah. So if you have a staff of four, you've always got one person gone, right? Which means you better hire a fifth person to cover for this fact that you've always got one person gone. So, you know, we're going to have to take a look at this. So anyway,
I mean, as far as workload, we are busier with innkeepers than what we used to be. I can't say that the workload has hugely changed over the years, but when you take someone that has been in the job for 8 years and knows that job forwards, backwards, needs no guidance whatsoever, and you take in a brand new employee that you have to teach each and everything to, I mean, you sat here as a counsel and said, well, I didn't know that, because you weren't taught. So, I mean, it's the same thing in my office, but I have to make sure it gets done. As you say, Gary, that was my fault. It would be my fault if something doesn't get done in my office. Right. And it's really frustrating when I like things to be correct in my office. I don't like to make mistakes. I don't like for my staff to make mistakes. I try to teach them and move forward. But it's hard when it's complete and total turnover, and I have no grounds or stands to change that.
Mr. President, would you take a motion?
Yes.
Move we approve the request by the Treasurer's Office to make the permanent part-time position currently at 30 hours fully benefited to 40 hours, no benefit changes. For a cost of $8,000 and some change per year.
Motion made. I'll take a second.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Item on the agenda, approved contract for 2025 financial advisor. We talked about that shifting from Greg Garitas, FSG, to Reedy, Indianapolis and Seymour. And it seems like a positive feedback we've gotten from our discussions with Reedy. Any discussion on that?
I asked to see a proposal. I've not seen that. I may have missed it.
Yeah, I'll get it to you. Yeah, but just basically going into this, all right, just, you know, they operate by billable hours and just figure $175 average billable hour. So the way I kind of look at this is I have, you know, a number of conversations, well, not a number, but Julie, you and I have had some conversations about it, right? So, if we take $30,000, which is what Garitas charged us, and we divide that by 175, it's 171 hours, billable hours for 2025. So, if I divide that by 12, you know, it's about 14 hours a month. And at issue is, you know, I think, and I'm not going to, Julie, if you want to chime in, you're more than welcome to, but you need some support outside eyes and some support and help in your office, do you not?
Have.
Yeah.
I have needed it, yes.
You have needed it, yeah, but you've not received it, correct? Right, yeah.
Well, so,
You have Jack Clements, right, as your consultant?
Yes, I do, thank gosh.
Is she, does she?
She's my personal.
Do you need more of her time, or, you say need more help?
I call her anytime I want.
So what more help do you need?
They'll come in and help me do other things besides the budgets.
Reedy will.
Jackie is based on the budgets.
Budget, oh.
Reedy will come in and help me with.
They come in and do a basic audit and tighten up the department, right?
Yeah, that's why I want to see the proposal, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm kind of thinking, you know, that they come in, work with Julie, and we have what I'll call a find the money campaign.
And they have a person assigned to her.
Yeah, right, right. And what I mean by that find the money campaign, if you'll think back, you may not remember, but Teresa Cobian, because we're getting ready to pass these additional appropriations, and forgive me, but there's some kind of a, she found some kind of an Indian tribal fund? Something like?
It's more, it was a ARPA fund.
ARPA?
They call the tribal fund, it's $100,000.
That we have in it?
It was $50,000 a year that they granted us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do have that in there.
Yeah. So what, to me, what.
Protecting it.
Well, you should, yeah. Right, but what I'm thinking is, and if I misspeak, Julie, please correct me. But basically, they come in and kind of go through the 175 funds, do complete reconciliation of all the funds, go through, look at all the line items, because we got carryover, non-carryover, and basically go come in and just work on reconciliation of all the line items and the funds. Yeah, to get just organized, right?
And
so,
as well as for the commissioner's office,
so it's they've got the staff, and that's the main thing, right? Because my understanding,
they can help us on grants as well.
Yeah,
you really need some actual help on that.
Right? Yeah, they're if you look at Baker Tilly, you know they're a pretty large firm. I don't know what their total headcount is in the state. And then if you look at FSG, he's kind of a small shop, right? 4 or 5 employees, 6 maybe at the most. And then in Reedy, I think they've got 2 offices, one in Seymour, they've got one in Annapolis. They've got a staff somewhere in the neighborhood of 26 to 30 people. And then so as far as the cost for 2025 total, it's going to be whatever it ends up being. It's going to be completely interdependent upon how much time and energy that they're going to have to really put into the auditor to help her. Same thing for the council of how much, because you got to keep in mind if we pick up the phone and call this wonderful person here to my left, to, you know, it's $200 an hour billed in 6-minute increments. So we can control the cost depending on how many times we pick up the phone, call, and we request, because it's the same thing. I'm assuming the commissioners will want to work with Reedy, because now I'm a little confused. And Susan, maybe you can shed some light on this. The council can hire Reedy, okay, and then the auditors, I guess, is willing to work with Reedy. But now what happens to the commissioners? They're not obligated to work with Reedy, are they?
No, the commissioners aren't obligated. A financial advisor under the statute is completely in the purview of the council.
So, oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, it's under your statute.
In your experience with your Jackson County, what did they do? How do they work with commissioners and council?
I would say that they assist in helping the commissioners, kind of like what the process that you went through this year, looking at the long-term planning and knowing what your capital needs are going to be, but over a longer period of time and trying to work that in, and whether that's because, you know, you guys have kind of hidden in your budget capital things in your just general budget instead of kind of moving that out, whether it's CCD, whether it's a general obligation bond, which I know you just issued. So, like, just identifying where those should be and kind of trying to keep that out of your budget, but that does have some interaction then with the commissioners of, you know, how many police cars are you buying a year? How many highway trucks are you buying a year, right? Those are the things that, right, highway is under commissioners, but those are the things that a financial advisor needs to know in order to help you plan and use your money the way it should be used.
that make sense?
Yes, ideally.
Yeah.
What we're going to have to, if we, you were talking 14 hours, if we get to the point where we're 20 hours a month with them, we're looking at 42,000 a year, which, you know, if they can give us good financial advice and help us through stuff, it's worth it.
Well, can I?
Depending on what happens.
And here's my,
What we need to do is set a limit.
Well,
What we have, because we don't want to get into a situation where we're thinking, okay, we're going to have 15, 20 hours a month with them, and then we end up with 60 or 70 hours.
Well, let's discuss that.
Yeah.
Okay. 2025 is basically a new beginning, as far as I'm concerned. And I equate this from a financial standpoint of, we got to come in and basically drag everything out of the house, or your garage, I suppose, right? We need to drag it all out, clean the garage, get it painted, throw away the junk, and then put back the good stuff. And so we as a county, you know, go through a lot of money every year, but that office, that auditor's office is, and I'm not to dismiss the importance of the clerk's office, but the auditor's office is probably the single most important office in the county, because everything flows through that office. And an issue is, and then the same thing with the commissioners, they're extremely important. They've got an enormous amount of responsibility before them going forward. And then the council's got a lot of responsibility. So where my head's at is, and I'll just be very forthright, is we stuck 150 grand in the council budget for this. I don't know what the heck Redding, I think, is the one that did it a couple of years ago.
Attrition fund?
Yeah, this attrition fund. So as far as I'm concerned, if we got to spend 150 grand in 2025 getting the county financially organized, and get us to where we are. We've got every I dotted and every T's crossed, and we have, for example, what reporting should we have the council every 30 days? What reporting do the commissioners need every 30 days? What reporting should we be looking at on a quarterly basis? So in my conversations with them is that we have to work with them and then define what these reports are that we want to be paying attention to, right? And so, for example, take the general fund. I mean, the DLGF saying we got 9 million, we're 640 grand upside down for 2025 as it stands right now. So one of the key areas is we need every 30 days to be paying attention to the receipts. What's been receipted in? How much money have we collected, right? And how much is coming in? Where are we on the disbursement side as a county to try to track this, and then track this on, you know, all the funds that we need to be paying attention to. So they can come in and we can work with them to help, you know, tell them what our needs are, and then they can work with Julie and the LOW system to create these customized reports so that we can get ourselves every 30 days we're looking at the same thing, right? We're paying attention to what we need to be paying attention to. So, if it costs $150K, so be it. I mean, I think it'd be money well spent. And just to get ourselves extremely organized and disciplined and focused, not only on 25, but we need to start in January talking about 26.
It's not just cost, it's also value. They may save us money, and they also put us in a position of having more control over our finances.
Yeah, the only thing I'm going to say is that what I've reiterated to them is they work for us. We don't work for them. We're not hiring Reedy to come in and basically do our jobs. Okay? You know, they're coming in.
And seven people that already tried to tell me.
Yeah, right. So we don't need, right. So what we want to, what we're not doing, and I want to make sure we're clear on this, is I'm not hiring Reedy to tell me what to do, okay? I'm hiring Reedy to tell me what I don't know, okay? Because I don't know what I don't know. And because we, the seven of us, are responsible for making the decisions to manage the county finances, because that, my understanding is that is the sole responsibility of the council, is it not? Okay.
Any discussion?
What, how do we move forward, Jim?
Somebody makes a motion, somebody seconds it, and let's vote to approve them, and then we'll get the contract in and sign the thing and get them in here and get going.
I mean, I would suggest, Jim, you and I have talked a lot about how these things work, particularly in this realm. I would just tell you I'm going to vote no unless we see the contract and I have a chance to review it, work through some of the details you've talked about before we basically lift all of our leverage and negotiation with this.
And I'm fine with that. If you want to table it today, we can table it. We can revisit this. You know, there's not, you know, this is quadrant. To me, you know, you got quadrant one, important, urgent, quadrant two, important but not urgent. This is important, not urgent, but we do make a decision in December or January sometime.
How about this? Yeah, yeah. Could we add it to our January
9th
work session?
On the 9th.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And get a contract.
Yeah.
I mean, really what I've asked them for is a proposal on what exactly they're proposing they do.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that that contract requires them to do what we are asking them to, or they don't get paid.
Okay. And what I would like to hear from each and every one of you, okay, and including Julie, okay, is can you send me an email of what your expectations are? What do you want?
Yeah,
Scott, what do you want?
I agree with what you just said. And as our consultants, I believe I asked them to provide a good starting place.
But I'm gonna,
after our conversation.
But I'm going to push back.
Yeah.
What do we want?
Here's what I want.
Well, no. Okay. Can you put it in writing and email it to me? Because I'm not going to remember it. I'm not going to go back and listen to this audio again. Okay?
I want them as the experts to provide it, put it in our hands quickly so we can review it, react to it. They've got templates. They do this all over the state. This is not new. We want a lot of things you talked about, a lot of things I talked about in the previous meeting. You know, this is not rocket science, but we do want to make sure that we're getting what we want. And I've heard a lot of additional responsibilities, both with the auditor and the commissioners included here. I do think the cost is probably going to be more than we're used to paying because we're adding more work, which we think is important. But the devil is all in the details, and I do not want to go down this path again without making sure we get everything in place.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I actually don't like not having a set cost.
Yeah,
I hate not having a set cost.
Well, we can do that.
Yeah.
How
many hours
do you
want to table this to our January work session?
Okay, well, along with this tabling, we need to decide on FSG. I also need to let them know something. It should be in due respect by the end of the year, which I would probably tell them we're going to just agree.
I'm going to make a motion we terminate the relationship.
Jim, would you take a suggestion? Because the only thing I'm trying to guard against here, and Susan, this is kind of to you, let's say we have a financial emergency that we need consultation on in the next 48 hours before we get on our new financial consultant. And Susan, I don't know what our current contract stipulation is with FSG. Does it go through December 31st? Is it continuing? But I don't want to do, Jim, is kind of leave us like if some, and we're talking about some kind of time-sensitive financial things right now. I don't want to be without a consultant until we secure a new one. So I would request that you wait, terminate until we add a new one, or just for how are you going to do that?
I don't believe we have to terminate because the contract with FSG was through December 31st, correct?
Correct.
So all we have to do is not renew that.
Correct.
Are you suggesting that we renew it for part of 25?
Really?
Because that's the option.
Not really.
We either go forward with three or...
I'd say let's just not terminate.
But Scott, how about this, Scott? How about
it's self-terminate?
It's going to self-terminate. Yeah, it's going to terminate automatically. Number one, number two, we are all in agreement. We're moving forward towards having an agreement with Reedy, We just got to hash out some details, get some details in writing. And we're agreeing that, you know, come Jan, you know, we'll have the meeting December the 9th, right? Okay. And so we, you know, we can make, if we want, I can make sure that they're there on December the 9th, which is probably a good idea, wouldn't it? To have them there? Okay. And so, and then my only question, what did I say, December the 9th?
December 9th, sorry, Tom.
Is December 9th gone? Is it really? Susan, can you put your lawyer cap on for a minute? When we have these work sessions on January the 9th, which have been advertised, Julie's there, can the council body vote and approve or disapprove, make decisions on those work session meetings?
If it's advertised as a special meeting and it is on your agenda to take that action, yes. You have to advertise that that's what you're doing.
Meaning you have to advertise your, now a work session, is it not inherent to a work session, are you saying, or something beyond that we have to advertise? We are able to
You're going to take action.
Oh.
So a work session does not imply action.
Correct.
Got it. So we can have a work session, and we can sit around a gab for 6 hours about everything. But if we have a specific topic that we know in advance that we're going to address, that we're going to have to take a vote on, that has to be advertised.
Correct.
48 hours?
Correct.
What terminology would you...
This is pretty much a verbal policy that we've made with the work session, the special meeting, whatever you want to call it, that we're going to hash out details on stuff, and if we have to take a vote, if it's not a super emergency, time sensitive, then we're going to table that.
Which is fine.
This is going to be hash out details.
Yeah, and then we'll vote on the whatever the date is for January council meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we followed, but yeah, if there is something that we know we're going to have to vote on, we need to advertise that. Do we need to change the name of it from a work session to a special meeting?
No.
I mean...
Or should we call these special meeting work sessions? Or is that important?
Yeah. I don't...
If you're going to vote on something, it needs to be called special meeting.
Right. Whether you term it a work session or whether you term it a special meeting, if you're going to vote on something, it's a special meeting. Or your regular meeting. You only have regular meetings, special meetings, or executive sessions. That's it. So the only time you can take action is a regular meeting or a special meeting if you've advertised for the special meeting and if you've put out what your agenda is and the action item that you're taking.
Okay, so going forward. And that's what we've all agreed on is at our what we've called our work sessions, we're not going to make official decisions and have votes.
Ideally.
But if we need to, then what we need to do is advertise that as a special session.
Correct.
Wouldn't it be good practice? I'm sorry, I did
go ahead there.
Wouldn't it be good practice anyhow to let everybody know when you're having a work session? Because it sounds like I have missed a lot during this past year.
Yeah.
During your work sessions, and I would really love to be more engaged. I would love for 2025 to be the year of better communication.
Our special meetings are here, first Thursday?
Well, and we advertise all of them.
And it's
I have struggled to find that information. In fact, I don't even know who to contact to get on the agenda anymore.
Who did you used to contact?
Julie.
Me.
Okay. And then I was told that Gary was doing the agendas.
Julie's the one you go through, but I'm the one who's cleaning it.
Julie has our schedule. We approved all the schedule of all our meetings and work sessions, so that's actually written out.
Do we have that now?
Yes.
But I think it's posted on the door. We're getting kind of way off track here. But
I just have one other point I wanted to bring up.
No, the president approves the agenda, mm-hmm. not the auditor. But the request can go to the auditor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everything that's requested does not go on the agenda. Okay. It's the president's role to determine how the meeting
as auditor goes. For 8 years, I understand that.
You understand how this works,
I do.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I understand
clear
how
that it's... up. Yeah. And you know, the work session, the policy, which is kind of where we started. So a work session is a special meeting.
They're all well. No. She's not going to take minutes of a work session, right? Under
no,
a special, do you still take minutes of it? So. Technically, and you're advertising it, so I want you to understand, you're advertising it, you're complying with the open door law. You are kind of taking information
right, when you're in that work session, because you have your financial advisor in there, you know, advising you on kind of how you're proceeding along. So even a work session is technically a special meeting. You all just think of it as a work session because you're not going to take action, right? It is convoluted in your minds.
Can you help us? All right. Can we start using the correct language first and foremost?
Can you lay out the distinction between all those meetings?
You mentioned
each piece of paper so we can...
First of all, you mentioned that there's our normal...
Your regular meeting.
Okay, that you call that a regular meeting?
That is a regular.
Okay. And then what's the name of these meetings that...
Special meetings.
Okay, so they're actually... So we have a regular meeting, we have a special meeting,
yep.
And then there's an executive session. Did I hear you say that?
Yes.
And then there's a work session.
No.
That's what I want to find out.
Someone can do it.
What is part and parcel to each of those meetings? So we don't misname them and make assumptions.
Yeah. All right. Regular is the first one.
Your regular meeting is your set monthly meeting.
And number two is?
Your special meeting.
Special, that's our work session. This is what we're calling a work session.
Right.
And then number three is the executive session, right?
Right.
And then what's the definition of executive session?
Executive sessions can only be held with regard to certain things that are included in the statute, pending litigation, threatened litigation.
Personnel issues.
Personnel issues, exactly. Very, very specific.
For very narrowly focused.
Very narrow. And executive sessions are closed to the public. And you do not take minutes of them, and you do not vote at them.
So it's kind of a closed door dealing with, what's the federal government call it? top secret stuff?
Sure.
Top secret, okay, got it. So in our context here, we just have a regular and a special meeting is what we have.
Correct.
Got it, all right.
Jim, the special executive session, there's an example of that on the outside door. We're having one, the commissioners have one on January 3rd.
Okay.
So we have it posted on
the
door
that,
and you can
Jim?
See it.
What's the purpose of that?
Read the memo.
I mean, you guys called it. I'm curious what the reason for the executive
session. Well, there's two check marks. You can go out and look.
You don't know what it is?
Public information. Well, it's on the door.
For the executive session, you mean?
Sure. We've got it posted.
Okay.
You've got to identify by statute. You've got to identify the topic.
I'm just curious what the reason for the
okay,
meeting
well, read the thing.
Okay, I'll take a look. Nobody knows. So on the work session, and I think Darren said it right, you know, our intent is to gather information and discuss. You know, we don't want to make decisions in the same meeting. I will also say there are times when we need to act on behalf of taxpayers in that work session to continue the operation of the county.
You shouldn't ever need to do that. You need to take action at your regular meetings. You just need to set that as a policy, and then people don't get confused about what you're doing.
Well, no, I understand holding the line there, but we're also operating in the real world where things happen.
Yeah.
And we have to act on behalf of the interests of taxpayers.
Should be
in certain
very few
cases.
Times.
Agree, it's very few times, but what I don't want the council to set is a policy that says we can never make a decision, even if it's in the best interest of the taxpayers we represent, in a work session or special meeting. I mean, I just think that's
if you're going to take action, it has to be very specific on your agenda for that.
Yeah, and we can add things to the agenda, right? We post the meetings, but we can add things to the agenda, just like we do this meeting, right?
You should not. We advertise it. We advertise it as a special meeting 48 hours ahead.
I mean, let's just say something crazy like COVID hits overnight. And we need to... Right. I'm just saying, you know, we don't want to intend... it's not our intent to make decisions in these hours-long discussions we have. But there are cases where we need to, as an example, provide support for important... you know, initiatives, sign support letters, and, you know, we want to keep... The last thing we want is to grind the wheels of government to a halt in cases where it just makes sense to protect our taxpayers. And so as long as we maintain that door being open of in very limited cases where we think it's in the interest of our taxpayers to move forward, even if it's in a special succession, I mean, I support that.
Sorry. I'm telling you, you should advertise. It's 48 hours. It's a special meeting.
Yeah, and advertise it. Advertise it.
You're gonna be at our ninth, well, whatever meeting that is now, work session, regular, or special meeting, right?
Well, I have the first Thursday of the month, I have it on there for every month. On the ninth, I will have to participate via Zoom because I have a interim meeting.
Yeah, and I don't know, Susan, that you really need to be on that meeting because first and foremost, we don't have an agenda prepared for that meeting yet. And I was gonna bring that up at the close of this meeting. But we've got, can we move on and get approved the appropriations?
Can you also give us what part, a list part, what is part and parcel to all our meetings, just so we have clarity in writing? And as you say, not try and make decisions on a special meeting, but go to the other meeting. Just put it in writing, we can look at it, go for it. Thank you.
May I finish, please? I'm sorry, I really, it's nothing contentious, I just need to ask. What did you approve as far as raises go for the budget? Because we haven't been told anything. And I'd like to know before I get my first paycheck in January.
It's 3%.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Yeah.
On that point, I mean, could we send, Julie, could we send each of the department heads the approved budget for their departments? If we haven't already.
I believe Mary's already got hers.
Except for the salaries, you told me.
Yeah.
Nothing because.
Because the salary ordinance hadn't been approved, but the 3% has been approved.
Okay, but to every department, if you could, if you haven't already, just send them their approved budgets so they can.
Pretty much have.
You pretty much have?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
On it.
Okay, so as far as Reedy goes, we don't make a decision on the 9th, we talk about it.
Yeah, we're gonna put Reedy on the agenda. Here's my takeaway. Reedy's gonna be on the agenda. I'll make sure that they're here. Okay, do the best of my ability. And then our regular meeting in January.
19th, I believe.
Is that the 19th?
21st.
Is it the 21st? Okay, so on the 9th, at the special meeting, we will discuss Reedy and.
So you want a special meeting on the 9th so you can vote?
No, I'm using Susan's new language.
Special meeting is for when you can vote.
No.
You can vote at a special meeting.
But we have to advertise it. We're not gonna vote.
Hold on, Jim.
Guys, can we have, let me make.
It goes to what you're saying. We have these scheduled throughout the years. We approved the schedule, so these are, technically, they're now regular.
Yeah, they're the first Thursday of every month are the special work sessions.
Right, which are now, for this year, regular meetings.
Correct.
So they have a schedule for them. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, all right. So, just.
Oh, great. Now I can't remember what he was saying.
No, I know exactly what I was going to say, just making sure that we're all on the same page. On the 9th, at the special work session, we're not going to vote. We're going to have a conversation with Reedy, develop consensus, make sure everybody's expectations that we're all on the same page. And then on the regular meeting on the 21st, we will put that to a vote. Okay? Does everybody agree? That's the approach.
Jim, man, I really hesitate to say this, but what? This is actually one of those examples I was mentioning before on a special exception or a special meeting where, in the interest of the council, we may want to act, you know, just in a timely fashion to important things like financial advisors, support process. So, I mean, if we had a proposal prior to that meeting, I'd be willing to vote on it. So I guess my point is, I think we should add.
So you want to vote on it on the 9th?
I was hoping to have a proposal by now so we could talk about here.
And right.
But I mean, if we get a proposal in a timely fashion.
Okay.
I'd like to leave that door open. And Susan, this is one of those examples where.
Okay.
You know, I think we should just advertise it. And if we choose to take action to.
Yeah, that's
really,
fair.
I mean, we don't lose a month of financial advising, right? We're trying to move the ball forward here.
All right. So what we're going to do is, Julie, you're going to advertise that the Reedy decision will be made on. We tentatively.
Advertise a special meeting.
Special meeting on the 9th and the Reedy issue. The retention of Reedy.
Can you still give us that list with the 48 hours and all the details required?
Yeah, we got plenty of time to advertise it.
In the interest of not getting confused, I wouldn't call it a special work session. I would call special meetings the ones that we're going to vote on, as our attorney said, and work sessions on the ones that we're not going to vote in.
But Judy, I'm just trying to, Susan, per our lawyer that we're paying $200 an hour for, she told us we have a regular meeting, a special meeting, and an executive session. So.
Okay, I understand.
Okay.
I understand, but if we're going, so right. If we call it a special work session, does that mean that it's a work session and one that we can vote on at the same time?
Now, okay, let's back up here. We can call it a special session. Okay, let's agree to language it as a special session. However, if we have a specific issue that we want to vote on at that special session, it has to be advertised 48 hours in advance.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I understand.
Right.
But you were calling it a special work session, and I didn't want to confuse the issue.
Okay, well, it's just, according to our lawyer, we're paying $200 an hour for, she told us, regular, special, and executive session, so I just want to adopt what our attorney told us to call it, that's all.
We're paying Jim $5,000 a year to do this job, so I mean, it seems overpaid to me.
It is.
Yeah. All right, let's get down with it. Come on. All right, so the issue is we agree the FSG terminates by itself on the 31st, and Reedy will hold off until the 21st of...
The ninth.
The ninth. Yes, right. The ninth we will shoot.
We will vote on the
meeting. All right. Anything else on that?
And if we don't vote on it, we can just take it until our regular.
Correct. We're good at that. We're getting good at that.
Yeah.
All right. So we got that. The only other thing on the agenda at the moment, other than the last item, will be to find the agenda for the 6th, or at least suggest things at this point, for the 9th, I mean. Approve additional appropriations for the year 2024, which I've got an ordinance for that. Are you ready for that? Additional appropriation ordinance 2024 number, what number would this be, Julie? It's Council Bill number 22. Say what? 12-30-001.
Yep.
All right. Whereas it has been determined that it is now necessary to appropriate more money than was appropriated in the annual budget, now therefore, Section 1, be it resolved by the County Council of Brown County, Indiana, that for the expenses of the taxing unit, the following additional sums of money are hereby appropriated out of the funds named and for the purposes specified, subject to the laws governing the same. General Fund, 1,000. Supplies, 1,000, sub 20,000. Supplies, $62,000. 3,000 fund line. Other services and charges, $214,000. 4,000 line. Capital outlays, $240,000, for a total of the general fund of $516,000. Cumulative capital development fund, 1138, the 10,000 line, personal services, $4,469. The 30,000 line, other services and charges, $1,350. 40,000 line capital outlays, $39,900. Total cumulative capital development fund, 1138, is then $45,719. The economic development fund, 1112, the 30,000 line is other services and charges, $22,000. The total economic development fund, 1112, is therefore $22,000. The general obligation bond fund, the 40,000 line, capital outlays, $45,000. Total general obligation bond fund is $45,000. Adopted by the council, 30th day of December, 2024.
Jim?
What?
Or Susan, or Julie, I mean.
Here.
Can someone kind of just
Some areas, and I'm going to put the responsibility back on the council, not on the commissioner's office, that we underestimated line items for 2024. The line items that they had in the 2024 budget weren't accurate, and so they exceeded what was requested and what was approved. You know, there's one issue in here that had is the firewall, but that firewall is coming out of the general obligation bond for IT, right?
That's the $45,000.
That's correct, yeah. Commercial cleaning services, you know, underestimated. And I've got a copy of it if you want it. I mean, here's
516 in the general is really, you know, and for capital outlay.
Well, keep in mind that of that 516, 400,000 is for property and casualty insurance in the 4700 account. So that's, if I take 400 grand divided by 516, that's what, 80% probably. So you got 80% of the cost. And also keep in mind going into 2025, 2025, we only allocated $1,836,000 for the 4700 account. So, you know, we probably should have allocated $2.2 million for 2026. And so just figure that a year from now we'll be in the same boat as we are currently on the 4700 account. So, you know, that's why I think going forward we've got, you know, it's, as I've said in the past, it's getting very disciplined, very organized, and very focused. And if we just do that and focus on process and work on, you know, putting processes in place and making sure we document the agreements that we have. You know, let's document everything that we do so that there's no, you know, there's no room for miscommunication. And if we can do those three things, you know, this thing will eventually be able to work our way out of that, you know, get organized and work our way through this. So,
Jim, I see $240,000 in the general fund for capital outlays. Do we know what those are?
What are you looking at?
$240,000 under capital outlays in the general fund.
$40,000 of that is emergency services. They requested sirens.
Right. Yeah, I'll just walk through it here. We got 200 grand for Frank Williamson for property and casualty insurance. We've got 200 grand for medical claims, which is the 4700 account. There's a $1,000 in there for Hoosier Hills prior commissioner's commitment. We've got $62,000 county to Premier Ag for fuel. We've got $3,000 in here for the Brown County Democrat for advertising. 11 grand for telecommunications, 40 grand for sirens. That makes up the 516 grand.
Well, the 240, I didn't hear 240,000 capital outlays there.
40,000 of that was the siren. What was the other 200?
Yeah, 200 grand for property and casualty insurance.
And that's in the capital outlays?
No, it shouldn't be.
No, right now, because you move money over into that 4700 fund, the 200,000 for medical claims, I put in at that line item because it doesn't kind of correspond to any other line item there.
And that can't come out of the go bond, which is why I'm asking.
Oh,
So it's kind of not a capital outlay, but it's the only, I mean, can we, I guess it's all coming out of the same bank account in the general fund, right? But.
Yeah, it's all coming out of the general fund.
Right. I mean,
as long as you're okay with it, I just want to make sure.
Right. It's getting additionally appropriated to the commissioners, which is where that health insurance does get paid from. So it may end up being a transfer.
Tim, I hope next year you can come closer to the budget than this. Right?
Well, and I hope you guys can come to a process where we don't have a meeting like this in another year.
That's fair.
There's room for improvement on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is stuff we don't see, though, as council, right, until it comes before us, and it's been underestimated. So, you know.
But and I'm not trying to drag this meeting out any longer, we have to take it. The council, from a statutory standpoint, is responsible for the fiscal policy of the county. And so when the commissioners present their Form 1s, you know, and they put in $375,000 for fuel, I think it's the council's responsibility of looking at the commissioners going, and explain to me how you arrived at $375,000 for fuel.
Yeah.
And if we don't ask those questions, and if all the department heads are doing is just taking last year's Form 1, copy-paste, and we don't drill down to hold people accountable, that's our fault. And so, but the challenge with that is every department. I mean, how many hours are we going to have to spend on each department going through the Form 1?
Speaking of that gas, I mean, does anyone know why that happened? Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if it was a function of allowing additional users to use our fuel and that we actually get reimbursed in that amount.
We have to get the reports from Eric.
And I'm wondering if we would need to use the 56K out of the general if we're being reimbursed out of a different fund, in a different fund. So I'm very protective of that general fund. As we know, we are in a major budget constraints on that. And so I don't want to just kind of, I mean, we're being asked to kind of approve $600,000-$700,000 in additional appropriations here. So I know people don't want to rush through the meeting, but this is kind of important. And I want to know what's going on. As a council person, this is not just, you know, a minor thing. It's probably the biggest thing on our agenda. And so just want to encourage the council to not rush anything here.
All of the departments that use gas from the highway department should have funds, or should have a line for fuel. Correct. So we should be getting reimbursed from those departments. That's the way it's typically been, hasn't it?
Kevin, I know you maybe looked into this. Do you have anything to say on this at this point? If you don't, that's fine.
So at this point, it's been an initial engagement. I know that there are departments like the town of Nashville that basically buys and accesses the fuel system at the highway department, and those monies are recovered through claims and invoicing, or through invoicing and payment to the auditor. I've been informed by Sandra that all that reclamation has occurred this year.
Sandra Poole is the bookkeeper in the highway department.
That is correct. So, to my knowledge, with the very preliminary investigation that I have done at this point, that process is in place and it is occurring. I cannot speak to where those funds go after they have been recovered. I do not know if they simply go back to the general fund or if they're allocated back into the funding related to specifically fuel. Okay? And it is not simply, there are other departments that have access to that. Parks and Recreation accesses that. The Sheriff's Department accesses that. So it's not simply isolated and limited to the highway department utilizing that fuel.
Health department
accesses that. Any of the vehicles that's associated that the county owns at this point access, and they do have specific identifiers as to even the truck that's being used, what truck is being fueled in that system. So my intention, as we go through as commissioners and we sit down with Ron and Tim, we'll go through those access so that when Jim asks that question of why is it $375,000, we as commissioners should be able to come through and say, here's specifically what our needs were, here's the adjustments if we need to make any adjustments according to inflation or that kind of thing going forward. That's my plan to move forward and working through that.
Right. Yeah, let me add to that real quick. This is where Reedy comes in from a best practice standpoint. Is I think it's real important for us for 2020, looking at 25 and then looking at 26, to say, let's say we've got $400,000 in the fuel cost, we've identified what departments, how much is used, how many gallons, right? And then do we go in and segregate those costs and put those new line items to bust up those fuel expenses? Because I think one of the things we've got to look at with Reedy is taking a look at the line items And are the line items coming out of the appropriate fund, number one? Are the expenses set up and divided out between the various departments? You with me? And we just got to go through and look at it and, you know, from a best... Yeah, and a new structure, and structure it in a different way based off best practices.
So let me add to that, and again, this is where, you know, I haven't spoken with Tim, and obviously we've got a working session that, or however we define it, an administrative session that we have planned as well. The point being is these are things that he and I are not, have no control over today.
Right.
So to answer your question, you have the wrong people in this room to answer that question. Right. So... At this point, you are beyond that, to my understanding, to meet SBOA, State Board of Accounts requirements to be in balance for the end of the year. Those appropriations rely on you. I would recommend that we as commissioners sit down with maybe a portion of the council and identify where that red writing red ink is so that we can then go back, and if it falls under the commissioner's purview, we go through, address it, work it out amongst ourselves, and come back and then make the adjustments if necessary, even in the approved 2025 budget.
Well, that was going to be my question, and Jim, you may have this, so I assume we've underestimated this also in next year's budget?
Well, I mean, and I don't have the report. I ran a report, and I don't have it with me.
This is like a $1.4 million.
Well, the first thing first is how long, Julie, will it take you to reconcile the general fund for the end of 12/31 of 2024 so we know what the reserve balance of the funds are? 30 days or? So the 1st of February, we should be able to get a pretty good accurate number. Okay, yeah. So in February, what we're going to want to do is, you know, get with Julie, take a hard look at the disbursements and the receipts, right, for all these various funds. Because the challenge going forward for 2020, keep in mind I'm talking off the top of my, you know, like I said, there's, I think we're 650 grand upside down on the general fund for 2025 right out of the gate. Okay, we're going to allocate this money today, which is going to drop the general fund balance for the 12/31 of 2024 fund balance down, right? We automatically know that going into 25, we're underfunded and we're going to need additional. And see, the issue is that as we walk through 2025, we've got to be careful what additional appropriations we dip into the general fund that are above and beyond what was adopted. Because the other issue is that the highway department, what they've done is they had, we're sitting on a bunch of reserve money up until this year, and they've literally gone in and budgeted and allocated every dime they've got, basically. So at the end of 25, the three funds that are in the 1782 basically won't have anything left over, which means that their budget for 2026 is going to be massively reduced. They're going to have near the money that they've got in 2025. So these first Thursday meetings, we're going to want to guard those with everything we can, because those meetings all throughout next year, we're going to have to use those meetings to really focus on understanding 25 in order to prepare for 26.
If I could, I mean, and this is kind of one of those pet peeves for me, we spent a lot of time talking about a $20,000 and an $8,000 request, probably an hour. Okay, now we have a $600,000 request, and in these meetings, spending our time on high-value, large-number, very important problems first is what we should be doing, not cramming it in.
Scott,
get out of here. It's only $600,000.
Scott,
that's not how this should work.
Scott, on the December 9th workstation, whatever, December 9th
special meeting
that we have, right? And I'm going to kind of rant here for a second.
Oh boy.
Wait a minute. Okay, hang on a minute. At our regular meeting in November, the commissioner's administrative assistant came before the council verbally with a verbal, basically a verbal request. I pushed back and requested that we table that until our December the 9th meeting. I have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. This document right here took me, I probably got six, seven hours wrapped up into this, okay? And then we got to the December the 9th meeting, and you weren't able to be present because you had a doctor's appointment or something. That's right, yeah. So a lot of this you missed because we covered this at the very beginning. But this report, you know, took an enormous amount of time on my time just to put the report to create the clarity around what the heck are you asking for. And the challenge with this is these are bills that have to be paid. I mean, and the thing of it is I think some of them had already been paid, which means we're now writing red ink in those line items.
And that's our problem as council. We can say we got control on it, and we're only going to allocate this. We're going to cut your budget. That money's been spent anyway, right. Even though we said your limit is this. Like, who cares? They spent over it. And this is money that's been spent. I mean, this is, it's not, and we're not allocating new money to something. We're allocating money to something that's already been spent, right? Beyond what we authorized, which is where we're going to have to come up with something.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going to be voting no on this. Because what typically happens in government, unfortunately, I've seen a lot, is the things that get missed and that we're asked to fund at the end of the year are basically essential things that we cannot say no to. It's amazing how that happens, isn't it? You know, the things that are on this list. I mean, Jim, let me ask you, is there anything here that we can't approve? We shouldn't approve?
Well, I mean, my understanding is we don't have to approve any of it. And, you know, the bills will still get paid. You can pay all the bills. And we can do it all. The only thing that's going to happen is then come 1/1 of 25, we're going to have a lot of line items writing some serious red ink. State Board of Accounts is going to come in. They're going to find it. Yeah, they're going to write us up for it. And then eventually the Standard & Poor's will come in. And so you guys haven't approved since last time. So we're going to take you from a double A minus down to a double A. And then eventually, if you continue the behavior, you know, at some point in time, Brown County would be junk status, which is double B.
So I think that's a long way to say, yes, we have to pay it.
Well, you either cover it, because all you're doing is you're going to, if you don't, you don't have to do this, you're right, you don't. But what it's going to do is that it's going to bleed into what was appropriated for 25. It's the same thing that the county had done when I came in on January, the first quarter of 2023. You know, this county had been running $500,000 to $600,000 negative carryover balances in the 4700 account. And then in 2023, after I got through doing all the work that I did, you know, we were projected to be at $1,350,000 in the red by the end of 2023. The only thing that saved us was that $2.5 million of the lit money, which I think was 2020, 21, and 22. Right. So we were able to offset that, and I think we finished 24 in the black about 10 grand.
We did.
Right. So you cannot pass this. That's fine, but it's you just putting it into 25 is all you're doing.
No, I understand that. I mean, my question was more about why are the things on here?
Scott, to put it in perspective, we're moving from a negative, probably a reactive approach of operating out of crisis and chaos to getting proactive. The whole purpose of the work session special meetings is to be in position by June 1 to know where we are, period, rather than surprise, surprise, and this and that. So we are moving from reactive to proactive. And hopefully, and we're tired of having these discussions as you just described. We want to know what's going on before it comes.
Yeah. All right, I'm willing to make a motion.
Wait, Susan, were you going to say something?
I was just going to ask a quick question because I heard this, and then I want to make sure that I understand it. So, overall, throughout all your budgets, you have $416,000 for gas, oil, and lube, right? So, it's in just four different budgets. That's where it is, right? So,
but you have the town of Nashville that comes over and essentially buys gas from you, is what I understand, and the highway department bills them, and then they cut a check to Brown County. How much do we sell to them a year? Does any, do you know that?
Not off the top of my head.
No.
It's not a...
Maybe 30,000, 20,000.
No, I'm not even gonna guess.
Yeah, I think that's my guess.
It's insignificant if you rate it along the lines of sheriff's department's use. I do only know that the town of Nashville only buys gasoline from McAllen.
Yeah, I'd put it at 30K, roughly.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, when that money comes in, right, you can deposit it, but you can't spend it again. So you're covering $30,000 of the town's gas bill out of your budgets, but you're not reappropriating the money that they're paying to you.
Goes back into the 1176 fund.
So, but not reappropriating it.
Which fund is that?
1176, it's a highway.
It's a highway fund.
A gas fund, or it just needs to...
It's local rent street.
I mean, that's kind of my point, Susan, is we've got a, and I don't want to drain it out of the general...
Highway general, or I'm sorry.
It really doesn't matter, because if we take, if we don't take it out of the general, we sell some other departments to take it out of their budgets, then that affects the reverting funds that go back into the general fund that roll over to 25. So either way, it's coming out of the general.
Yeah.
No matter what we do, it's coming out of the central.
To address a lot of this too, there is the issue about a digital billing system for 2025. And from what I understand at this point, it may take us from paper billing to electronic billing, which will give us much more insight and control over what's happening in each department. So, and it will be good to have Reedy there with Mr. Jackson presenting so they can look into this. Now, I was surprised that Reedy didn't seem that familiar with LOW, their experience thus far. Apparently they're okay with that. But if we can go digital, we may have much more information that we can then have control over. So that is answering your question, Scott, about why does this keep happening? Anything else? Appropriations. Take a motion.
Oh, if you want me to. Yeah, I move that we deny the request for additional appropriations.
There goes the recipe.
The motion dies.
I think so, yeah.
Time for a second motion?
Pardon? Motion made?
Well, no, his motion dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to ask if there was a second. No second, it dies.
Okay.
Okay, I'm open to a motion.
I'm a new bad guy. A motion that we approve in whole all the appropriations requested in the ordinance that you have. Okay?
I second.
All right, motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hopefully not. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Scott. Okay, we need to say
you need a second reading.
Okay, a second reading.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Additional appropriation, boy, because Scott said no.
No.
Just in general.
Yeah. We get those states to read the whole thing again.
We can't do the second reading today, though, because we weren't unanimous.
It wasn't unanimous.
So we have to do a second reading in the next meeting. We'll advertise it for our January.
So it's not formally voted upon then?
Right.
Do I need to amend my vote?
He was just being funny, wasn't
he? No, I don't like it at all.
You don't have to.
I mean, I don't want to kick it to another meeting now. Is that? Hey, Julie.
So if you're unanimous, we can put it in play.
You can read an additional appropriation ordinance at the same meeting if the first reading was unanimous.
Can we go back and change the first
Let's just go back. You got my point. I don't like it.
I mean, you're going to have carryover. So
He's willing to go unanimous, is that all right?
You don't have to.
Yeah, but can he do it?
I can, right?
You don't want to go through that.
She's saying we don't need to.
Can we go back, can we discuss for half hour?
Can we hit the rewrite?
You have to vote.
Can we hit the rewrite, rewind?
I would say no, you had the vote.
Perfect.
Okay.
We had the vote.
Can we take an amendment?
No, you had the vote.
So what are we gonna do?
Read it the next week.
What just happened?
Why did you vote, we voted no on the appropriation?
No, one of us did.
Why?
Because I guess you were not here, if you'd like, I could rehash the prior half hour discussion, but.
I already rehashed that at that table.
Yeah, I don't like new appropriations for $600,000 that are just.
No.
I mean, I've already said this.
So, there was a. So what do we need to do?
Should take a motion to close?
For your January 9th meeting.
Yeah.
Right, second reading will be at January 9th.
Is there any implications to this on the overall budget closing at the end of the year?
No, I think if there's a question about the State Board of Accounts, you can say that you had, the readings were split over two meetings, that's perfectly acceptable.
So they'll accept it into the new year?
There will be some carryovers that you have these bills, so.
But we did have the first reading in this year, so.
Yes.
I move we adjourn.
Well, wait, okay, so just make sure we're clear, so on the 9th of January.
Second reading of this.
We'll have a second reading, which that needs to be, so now we got, reading needs to be advertised, and we need to make sure this second reading is advertised.
Second example of why there are times when in a special meeting, the council needs to take action.
All right, on the 9th, the agenda, let's bring suggestions, would you go ahead, Kevin, what do you say?
So I'm just gonna question Susan here, you say it has to be unanimous, does that include the fact that you have someone that's absent?
She can't vote on it by video.
Well, she can.
She can vote on it, she couldn't approve to go to approve the budget over video, she can, I.
Yeah, but.
So that means she abstains, is that not considered? She has to do something with her vote.
I think it's still unanimous even if she abstains, right?
Even if she abstains, it would still be unanimous, but she wasn't the no vote, Scott was.
No, I know, but I'm just asking about, I mean.
Fair question.
It's a majority, or, you know.
Yeah.
Has to be unanimous.
And abstention isn't counted, I don't think, as for or against, or, right?
If somebody is here in the quorum and they abstain, then it's not a unanimous vote, correct? Because it's unanimous, it calls the quorum.
I have to see if there's a court case on it.
Not typically, I mean, I would think so.
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head.
Would you take a motion, Mr. President?
No, we're not, we gotta finish one more thing, sir, from the 9th agenda.
So right now, I have reading vote, additional appropriations vote.
Correct.
So that has to be advertised.
Correct.
We're good on the advertisement thing.
Right.
Now what else do you guys want?
Tom Jackson, the digital billing system.
Nope, I canceled him altogether, he's done, we're done.
I wrote back to him and says, no, we wanna do that.
It's not what you think it is.
That's what I wanna find out.
Because you have to go through his companies to get what you're, to get the reports that you want. You can't go through any other company but their companies.
So it's not just a plug-in you can put in the WOW?
Correct.
Okay.
So you don't want it to be considered?
It's illegal to do a government entity or what?
No.
Just wanna find out.
He is basically with One America.
It's like using Apple and then wanting to use something from Microsoft, we can't unless we change to Apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything you have to do with One America is what you go through all these companies that they bring up, and anything that you buy in these companies that they have or they're affiliated with are your funds. But if they're not affiliated with those.
Yeah, it's limited.
Yes.
Providers, all right, I was gonna be curious to get Reedy's take on that, if we were gonna do that next one, so far it sounds like that's not gonna go. All right, what about Marcy?
Yeah, we should talk about it, just put the regional economic development district for discussion, I can write her if council's like.
The only thing I'm gonna caution you guys on is going forward for 2025 and these special meetings that we're having on the first Thursday of every month, you gotta be really careful with these show and tell.
Guys, we're having meetings, hey guys, can we listen up here for?
Yeah, I know.
We we've got to just guard us on, I call it show and tell. Show and tell, somebody coming in and going, hey, check this out, they want to pitch. Because if we gobble up a bunch of time at these meetings, then that takes away from the time that we could have been used to spend on, because you know, I mean, we can sit there, well, we can spend 90 minutes talking about whether to buy 87 octane or 92 octane.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm guarded with on
that. That's good. I agree. Okay, anything else for tonight? Budget, anything that we can think of? We got the reading and appropriations. We're going to hold up on Marcy. Is that there?
Just put the Regional Economic Development District. And if council wants her to come, I'll request it. But if not, we can just talk about it.
But we can spend some time ourselves talking about EDA, can't we not?
Yeah.
All right, so EDA's on there.
So you're going to put the EDA thing on there.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming the commissioners will be there. Right?
Yeah, I'll invite them all to be there.
And the essence of it is just budget pre-work.
Well, it's right. So, yeah, because I'm going to have a lot of reporting that I'm working on my, okay, that I'm going to see now in 3D, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of how I see this kind of playing out is very disciplined. We got to get really organized. We got to get really focused.
Okay. Hey, you got a question?
Jim looks at me like, oh, have you decided what you're going to do with the four people that still has not? We got retirement for 24, but what are you going to do in 25?
Nothing. There is no decision made on that.
When are we going to make a decision?
I don't know that. Are we? I don't know that we are going to make a decision.
So you're saying no, it's not going to happen?
As it stands right now, yeah.
I think it needs to happen. I thought we were waiting for the you two to get together on the purchase of it.
Okay, don't conflate perf.
I know it's not directly related, but it's whatever.
Okay, I tell you what, then let's put down on the 9th this, I'm going to call it the 10.2% request.
11?
11. Okay. 11.2, thank you, stand corrected. 11.2% request, okay?
Thank you.
Because we need to put that to bed. We need to make a decision or do something to make a decision and put it to bed.
So, Jim, you were trying to say something there.
So now I'm trying to figure out what the heck I was going to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, the way I say it, and
you're going to put stuff together for
real. Well, here's the flow. Yeah. Here's the idea. Here's the goal, okay? We know that the form ones are submitted by the departments to the auditor July 1, is when they're supposed to be submitted. And if I were a department head, all right, then I would expect the council to tell me exactly how much money they're going to allocate me for 2026. Because I don't know how, you know, what I can do with my budget until I know how much money I got coming in, right? So the goal, and Julie, I'm assuming you're still on board with this. The goal is for us as a council to be in a position to tell every department exactly how much money out of what funds are going to be allocated to them for their 2026 budget. Then we communicate that to them in writing, working clearly with Reedy so that we can do an accurate revenue forecast, all right, for 2026. And so the work to be able to meet that goal, a 531 goal, means that probably starting in February, because we're not really probably going to get it started here yet, but starting in February, we've got to go in and take a hard look at the revenues, right? And be, in order to be able to accurately forecast, for example, the general fund. The 2023 revenue based off of 1782 and 2023 was like 8.7 million. Well, for 24, it's 9 million. But when you look at the revenue in the general fund for 2025, most of that revenue is income tax. A smaller portion is property tax, but it's also revenues generated by all the various departments. Because the treasurer gets those checks in, she takes it, receipts them in, puts them in the bank. And the auditor's got to go in and deposit that money, you know, into that general fund. And that's why we've got to take a hard look and see what our cash reserves are first, come February, because we won't know that until February, fair? So hopefully by our first meeting in February, regular meeting in February, we know what our cash reserves are on all these, you know, there's about 9 funds, right? We want to see what that year-end balances are. Then we got to take a look at the expenses for 2025 are coming out of those revenue buckets. You with me? And then the big challenge is that, because what, you know, there's what we're trying to avoid. When I talk to you, the guy's name's Robert Norris, nice guy. I challenge you to reach out and talk to him if you want. He's our DLGF rep. And what we're trying to avoid is, and I'm really concerned, because we can't take 10 years to save up with a rainy day fund. We can't take 10 years to build up reserves in the 4700 account. Because what I'm hearing now, just kind of through the grapevine, is we have bridges right now in our county that are could potentially, if we don't address it, are going to have to be closed, because they're literally could be on the verge of caving in, which that creates a major liability issue for the county. And probably in all likelihood, I've been told, again, this is kind of a surface level statement, that, you know, we could end up having to find $1.5 million just in match money for grants to be able to repair the crossing and the bridges. You know, and Lord forbid if Ted Adams, we end up with a murder trial like Carroll County got hit with, and Delphi, $2.5 million. So what scares me is if we have any sort of quadruplon crisis that shows up anywhere, I mean, we don't have the money to pay it. So we've got to go in and take a hard look and really work to internalize 25 so that we can tell the departments how much money they're going to get allocated for 26. But at the same time, we've got to look to see where we can reduce our expenses. And that's just all there is to it. And so, and with that said, Julie, have you gotten me and Susan into the ERM system with PERF?
Can't get an answer.
What do you mean you can't get an answer?
I haven't gotten them to answer their phone.
Okay, so, is that, we need to do that.
Jim, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Call that lady, the PERF, that contact.
I have, I've got it.
No, then have her call me.
Okay, I'll get it. I've got a phone number, and we've got to get that done. Because we've got to get that moved up and get started on that.
In 2 months.
Well, it's been August, August, September, October, November, December. It's been 5 months. Yeah. Okay, and then the other part of it is, Scott, you know, if you go back and read that, you guys, I think, all agree, the 5-page document that I submitted back in August the 28th, just some organizational work. So right. Defining the role and responsibility of the president, defining how we're going to conduct our meetings.
Let's put that on there.
We've got that, and then the other thing.
We're going to get that in January.
Yeah, well, if you go back, I hope you still got the document.
Where we're going.
Well, no, the president.
Are you good with putting some of that stuff on there?
Yeah. Maybe we do that. Susan, does that make sense in our regular January's regular council meeting or the work session? Kind of like it would be nice to get it moving, right?
Well, the work session is where I'd like to do it.
I mean, I don't think we want to wait, lose a month.
No, I don't. How about if I do this? I'll put together, I'll take what we've got on here, go through that, that report that I gave you guys, and I'll put a few things in there, right? And then you guys, if you need something, then kick it, come back with an email and say, well, what about this? What about this?
Right.
Yeah.
What if on this, on these, we're doubling our meetings as a council,
right,
in order to make more progress. What if we had in those, we can already see we've got 4 decisions in the work session that we said we wouldn't make a decision on, but we feel like we need to make 4 decisions, right, or 3 or 4, whatever it is.
We'll get 2.
2, whatever it is. What if we have, like, a section that's for action on the agenda and a section that's for discussion, right? We just say, hey, and we distinguish, and it's not
unclear to even us, right? We don't walk into a meeting not knowing if we're making a decision or it's a discussion. We delineate. The action items are at the top, and then the discussion only.
Right.
Agenda items are at the bottom. And we kind of just, and then the public knows we're not making discussion or, you know, decisions on discussion item and vice versa.
Well, the action items would have to be advertised, I would think.
Well, yeah, all of it should be.
Well, and we're all right today, I think we're all realized 48 hours. If we got to vote in a special work session, we got to advertise it 48 hours, right? So everybody's got that, you got it?
Susan, we can, if we're in an advertised meeting, and at the beginning of the meeting is a call for additional agenda items, and something comes up in that 48-hour period, is it legal to add an item to the agenda?
If you're outside the 48 hours, yes.
You can't add something to the agenda?
No.
What's the definition of 48 hours? If it's an action item, it has to be advertised 48 hours.
Yes.
I mean, any kind of meeting, nothing can be added to the agenda.
Not your regular monthly meetings. Understand that. You have whatever your agenda cut off.
So it's special.
Right.
Don't you have a catch-all phrase in there at times, and what other meeting budget material that you have advertised?
Any other business that comes before council?
It's not any other business, no.
I've seen that happen a lot. I'm surprised.
But it can't.
Can't?
You cannot have.
It can't be any other business.
We added three items today.
I understand that. I only have so much control over you all. I'm going to say that.
So we shouldn't have added any of those items and voted on budgetary expenses if they weren't on the agenda.
I was going to have a conversation with Gary after the meeting. I was not going to do it during the meeting.
That is unusual. I've never heard that, actually. I thought, you know, when it calls at the beginning of the agenda, hey, are there any additions or changes to the agenda?
Only in a regular meeting.
Only in a regular meeting.
Only in a regular meeting.
Interesting.
So a special meeting, that's what I want, the distinction.
Right. Special meeting, that's why, where's my agenda for today? Do you see the five things I had listed up there?
Yeah.
That's what you could talk about in a special meeting.
And because we call it a special meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that, and
it goes along with the definition of offices and such.
Yeah, and so, do we want to call them special meetings if we can't even add?
Well, that's what I want to hear with the definitions of options. What options do we have? What's contained in each one? And we can plan from there.
So, we discuss that after this meeting's over?
This is important.
Yes.
Here's the question for you. You can have more than one regular meeting a month.
And since we advertised the schedule, we're now having two regular meetings a month.
Right. These have been advertised. The problem becomes...
Hello, guys. One person at a time.
The problem becomes your office people don't know if you're taking action at these second regular meetings that you now have on your schedule. Like, understand the difficulty that causes to your employees and your office holders when they're not certain which meeting it's going to be heard at and which meeting you're going to take action at.
So it's legal but not logistically helpful.
Right. Which is why those second Thursday of the month are really only special meetings.
Sanctified of sorts.
And if you want to take action at those, we have to advertise what that action is going to be 48 hours ahead. It just causes problems for your employees and your office holders when they don't know what you're doing. So let's try to define what you're doing.
And that's
so. So you got the regular meeting, and if you're going to have any meeting during any period of time above and beyond the regular meeting, the very first question we all got to ask: are we voting on anything? And if we're going to vote on anything, okay, what it is, it has to be a 48 hour. So the first question we always ask, hey, let's have a meeting.
Okay, question,
are we going to vote? No vote. Okay, great, we don't have a 48 hour.
My understanding when we decided to do the work sessions was that there was not going to be any voting in those.
That's the intention.
And that they were going to be a work session. And then, but now we're backtracking on that as well.
No. I do not want to backtrack on that at all.
Let's let Susan run up her options.
Well, there's
two things that have to go. Please, we're going to go out forever here.
What I also heard Susan say is that today is a special meeting that we are going to vote that was advertised, and we are limited to the items that were advertised.
Correct, correct. So, okay, so can you give us that list by the special meeting time so we can, on the same page? The list, the distinctions and what's off the system, what options we have as far as meetings goes. Sounds like there's three, regular, special, executive. And that's the end of it, that's the extent of it, what goes with each one. That would be very helpful, thank you. Okay. Art, I think we're ready.
Motion adjourned.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
What are we doing?